I invite you to stand now as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel lesson, which comes from the gospel according to Luke, reading from the 21st chapter. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." And they asked Jesus, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And Jesus responded, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then Jesus said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we thank you that you have called us together this day to worship you. And we thank you for the gift of your holy word. And we thank you as well, O God, for the opportunity to proclaim your word. And I ask now, O Lord, that you would be present in the thoughts of our minds, in the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our Savior and our friend. Amen. This week, most of you probably went to the polls in order to vote for our next president. This week, you probably stayed up later than usual to wait for the results of that election. And this week, you probably reacted, as many did, to the news that our president-elect Trump would be the next president of the United States. It was a week of ups and downs. It was a week of rejoicing and of dismay for some folks. What it reminded me of were the classic words of Charles Dickens' story, A Tale of Two Cities. A Tale of Two Cities. Charles Dickens was writing in 1859 about Paris and London, and it was before and during the French Revolution. But hear what he said. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. We had everything before us, we had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven, we were going the other direction. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on its being received, for good or for evil, in the superlative degree of comparison only. The superlative degree of comparison only. How many times this week in the media did you hear that superlative degree of comparison? We elected one president, but it appears that we are two Americas. Two Americas. And that divide between us continues to grow. We are more divided than ever, and I wonder what's happened to our United States. I've wondered what has happened to our political process of a peaceful transition of power. And I have to wonder what in the world has happened to civility, to respect, to the belief that we are all created equal. what has happened to the United States of America, one nation under God, one nation under God, where God has called us as his children to love God and to love one another. For some in America at this time, it truly is the best of times. For others, it seems to be the worst of times. And as I said, that division continues to grow. There's nothing new about the election this year, except perhaps some of the rancor in the debates and in the conversation. Every 4 years, there is a winner and there is a loser. Every 4 years, someone wins and someone else loses. But what seems new now is that we cannot accept that reality. Someone has won, someone has lost. What do we do to bring back a civil discourse that will unite this country? What do we do to have a conversation that will bridge the gap between those who think it's the best of times and those who are sure it is the worst of times? How do we do that without gloating and without despair? How do we do that without name-calling and labeling and judging? How do we do that without a them and us mentality? What is the bridge that will bring these two Americas back together? My prayer today is that in this nation we will find a way to come again under the leadership of Christ so that we might have hope, that we might have trust, that we would have civility, that we would have peace, that truly we would be one nation under God. How do we do that? It seems almost impossible today. The scriptures that we read were scriptures that were assigned in the lectionary reading, but I do think they give us a word of hope of how to move forward. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, in his words that Janice read for us this morning, it's a prayer of thanksgiving. But it's a prayer of thanksgiving for something that has not yet happened. It's a prayer for something that will happen years later in the future. The first 10 chapters of the prophet Isaiah in the book of our Bible, he has been spending time warning the people of Jerusalem and Judah that God is going to punish them. God is going to punish them because they have not been obedient and they have broken the covenant. They have not lived by God's word. Not only the people, but their leaders have disobeyed. And so there will come a time when Jerusalem will be destroyed. And he has been blunt about the brutal calamity about to befall Jerusalem. And then in chapter 11, we have that wonderful prophecy, that there will be a peaceable kingdom. One day there will be a root, there will be a branch, a shoot that will come out of the stump of Jesse. Out of David's great family, there will be a new leader. The wolf will be able to live with the lamb, and a little child shall lead them. They had that hope of a future when things would be peaceful. We look at that prophecy as when Christ came, that we might have that peaceable kingdom. But it's not here yet. It's still to come. It's one day in the future. And here in chapter 12, we have this beautiful psalm. It's not a psalm of thanks for what happened today. It's a prayer and a song of hope for what will happen in the future. Isaiah reminds the people that the same God that brought the children of Israel safely through the Red Sea with Moses' leadership, it's the same God that will protect them, the same God that will lead them. Maybe it won't be today, maybe it won't be the next day, but it'll happen one day in the future. Both, all of those prophecies will come true. Yes, Jerusalem would be destroyed. Yes, there will be a peaceable kingdom. And yes, we will thank God for God's protection and God's care. Isaiah is assuring the people that even though this seems to be a turbulent time now, God still reigns. God is still in control. Two significant truths come out of this psalm, I believe. And one is that we worship that same God. The same God that brought Moses and the Israelites through the Red Sea is the same God that gave us Jesus Christ, is the same God that will lead us today to again be the United States of America. It's the same God, but God wants our allegiance. God wants us to come home to him. God longs for us to trust in him. The other truth is that we have a fundamental choice. We have a fundamental choice as followers of Christ, as believers in God, and that choice is always before us. Do we trust God or do we fall back in fear? Do we trust God or do we wallow in despair? Do we trust God or believe that everything is hopeless? We trust God. We who are followers of Christ, we trust God. We are the ones who are called to live in the power of hope and trust that God is able to do all things. Nothing is ever impossible with God. One day, trust and hope will bring us back together. One day, that peaceable kingdom will be a reality. Maybe we won't see it today, maybe not tomorrow, but in God's time, surely one day. The gospel lesson for Luke is one of those apocalyptic lessons that we have in all of the gospels where Jesus is talking about what the end of time might be. Jesus and the disciples have reached their destination. They have come to Jerusalem, and Jesus' death, his arrest and his death is imminent. And the disciples are admiring the beauty of the structure called the temple. And they are shocked when Jesus says, you know, those big stones, that structure that you think will last forever, shortly not one stone will stand upon another. They'll all be gone. That temple that you think is a fortress that nothing can destroy, there will be nothing left. And they are shocked. But Jesus reminds them that even if that physical temple, or even when that physical temple is gone, it will be replaced by something greater, something more permanent, something that can never be destroyed. And we know that that is truly our belief and our faith in Jesus Christ. Diane Strickland, in an article about the destruction of the temple, writes, "Every age nurtures a dependency on institutions, whether they are religious, economic, or political. In the process of life, however, these institutions may crumble, be exposed to weaknesses, or changed. And it is always a shock to us when that happens." It was a shock to the disciples to think that the temple wouldn't stand. It may have been a shock to America, the change that this election has brought. But the truth is that something more permanent is truly in place. Our faith in God, our belief in Jesus Christ as our Savior, is always permanent. Jesus is announcing that the coming destruction of the temple will reveal that the only real hope for a future is in him and in him alone. Jesus warns in this world that there will be much destruction and much persecution, but God will protect you. Now, it's interesting when it says that God will protect you. God's protection doesn't keep us from the lure of false teachers. God's protection doesn't keep us from the reality of war or the destruction of landmarks. God's protection doesn't keep us safe from natural disasters or betrayal of families and friends, or even keep us from arrest, imprisonment, hatred, and death. But what God's protection does do, it's a reminder that God is with you, that God is with you every step of the way. Just like God said to Joshua, God says to us today, be strong and courageous. Trust not in ourselves or our projects or our plans, but trust in God's plans. Be held in God's hands, and remember that it's always in God's time. Jesus says, yes, the temple will be destroyed, and all the disciples see will be no more. Yet God remains. God will always be there, and the Holy Spirit will sustain them and us. Hope and truth do prevail, and perfect love always casts out all fears. At times, it might be hard for you to believe that, to trust that, to live that. But we are called as followers of Christ to believe it, to live it, and to trust always in God. Regardless of what side you might find yourself on this political debate that seems to be ongoing, you may, whether you think it's the best of times or the worst of times, never ever forget that it's God's time. It's God's time. And God has called us to be his people and to follow his way and his will. In these turbulent times, the words for me of John Wesley make perfect sense. These were John Wesley's three simple rules to live by: do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. Perhaps that would bring us back together as one. Amen.